We are the Jocelyn Pettit Band, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Feeling lost in the lonely, meaningless cyber web? Looking to connect with other users? Then plug in to a CITR collective. Meet users who are compatible with your interests and passions. CITR's mainframe offers 9 unique collectives: news, arts, accessibility, sports, persons of color, indigenous, gender empowerment, LGBTQ2SIA+, and music affairs. CITR collectives are where you can make great radio, great friends, and avoid the abject loneliness of life in the cyber void.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hello, everyone. My name is Richard, and you're listening to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm joined by my accessibility collective teammates, Christy, Anna, Lydia, Avery, Gura, Randy, and Katie. I hope everyone's doing well and staying safe. Today's episode of All Access Pass is a fun one, as we're bringing you inspiring and uplifting stories about disability in sports. We'll talk about how people with disabilities or diverse abilities are breaking barriers when it comes to sports and outdoor activities. And we'll also listen to an interview with Danielle Henning, who works at CRIS, which stands for the Community Recreational Initiatives Society, as the manager of partnerships in the Okanagan. To know more about Danielle, I would like to hand it over to Christy and Anna. Christy and Anna, you two had the opportunity to talk with Danielle. Can you please tell us more about her and what CRIS is about?
Oh, Danielle was wonderful, and we had so much fun together interviewing her, and she had so much information to share. She's the manager of partnerships at CRIS, or Community Recreational Initiative Society. CRIS provides accessible outdoor recreation for people of all abilities, accessible wilderness adventures, and accessible equipment rentals. In the interview, I also learned about what mud hogging is. Yes, it is a real thing, and stay tuned for the interview to find out more about this wonderful thing.
Yeah, it was a really great interview, and it was really refreshing to learn about such a wonderful organization and hear the stories that she shared, and it really got me inspired to do some outdoor recreation, hopefully because I've been stuck in my room for most of the time. So yeah, and I can't wait for our listeners to hear it.
Welcome. You're listening to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM.
Hello. So today we're here joined by Danny Hennig, who is the manager of partnerships at CRIS, which is Community Recreational Initiative Society. So today we'll be talking about accessible recreation.
I'm just going to read a quick bio from Community Recreation Initiatives. So it is a unique and powerful nonprofit and charitable organization. They're dedicated volunteers that utilize adaptive equipment to assist people facing access barriers to experience nature and outdoor recreation. So right away, that sounds like an awesome group, and I'm really looking forward to learning more about it. So Danny, can you tell us how CRIS started and how it came about?
Yeah, so our organization has been around for, this year is our 20th anniversary, and it started in 2001 by our founder Troy and his wife Lynette. They were inspired by a close relative of theirs who had Down syndrome. They were passionate and avid outdoors people, and they wanted to create an organization that specialized in supporting people like this relative to get outside and pursue the same activities that they love doing. They had sort of been doing that on their own anyways, like bringing this person outside and doing all this and just finding ways to create inclusion within their own family. But then they wanted to move that into an organization that offered that to a whole lot more people throughout the community.
That is a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing. And can you please tell us more about your role in CRIS?
Yeah, so I've joined CRIS fairly recently, and I'm working with them on a lot of different things. We're a really small organization, so everyone wears multiple hats. And as much as my role is sort of in partnerships, that's just creating more connections with our community so that we can be able to better serve the people that we work with. One of the partnerships that is going forward right now is we're starting a rentals program, or further developing our rentals program, which we piloted last year, so people can do independent adventures with our adaptive equipment. As well, we have so many volunteers. I'm moving volunteer training online a fair bit so that it's a faster process. Everything's going online these days. And then working in our program development, I have a background in sport and recreation, and so I'm helping tie in like concepts of physical literacy into our youth programming and adding a little bit more of an instructional component to some of our programs for those who want to pursue it in a way to sort of develop skills. Some people are there just to like get out and enjoy things, but some people want to become like a better kayaker and learn skills about it. And so we're adding a little bit more instructional components into some of our programs too.
What is the age demographic using an organization like CRIS?
We have like no age demographic, or like there's no requirements to use CRIS services. We basically are trying to be inclusive for everyone. Some of our equipment, we definitely don't have as much youth equipment, but we find ways to make it work. And yeah, so it's from very young kids to seniors, and it's all levels of abilities. Sometimes it's just like someone who's going through rehab and needs like a stepping stone to getting back to how they typically function in day-to-day life. And then sometimes it's people who have a permanent disability and need a lot more help. Yeah, so we serve sort of this huge range of people, which makes it really fun and different every time that we go out.
So how can people with disability access CRIS? Do they have to submit an application? Tell us how the process works.
Yeah, so we have a membership that is sort of an annual membership, and that is just through our website and through contacting us. And then with that, we have very much discounted member rates for our programs. And we also have funds available to subsidize programs. Like that's some of our partnerships, is we have like a get outside fund to be able to help people, because our mandate is to break down barriers, and people face all different kinds of barriers, whether it's physical, whether it's education and not knowing how to do a sport or activity, or whether it's financial. And so we try and holistically look at all these different barriers and like find ways to break all of them down so that it increases that accessibility.
One of our collective members, I think they're from the Okanagan, and was associated with the local radio show there, like K96.3 Kelowna's, yeah. Classic Rocks. And I know you were just talking about like funding, and I guess they do a fundraiser there. Like, do you know more about this fundraiser?
Yeah, so we had a fundraiser. Normally every year on January 1st, we host the like Kelowna Polar Bear Dip, and we use that as a fundraiser for our organization. But then this year we moved it into an online sort of virtual format, and we lengthened it so that people could sort of submit video entries and challenge their friends to do a polar bear challenge. And again, it was like focused on being accessible in that you could sort of do whatever you wanted for your polar bear challenge. How you were going to prove you were a polar bear was up to you. So one of our clients and our ambassadors, he went to one of our partners who's like a big equipment rental company in Kelowna, and he sat there in his chair and got them to dump like a skid steer bucket of water over his head, of like ice cold water. So him and then the owner of that company stood out in their parking lot and had like these two giant tractors dump huge buckets of ice cold water over top of them. So anyways, the radio host, he's come out on a couple of our trips and is very involved with Chris, or is trying to get more involved with us. And so he then joined in with the West Kelowna firefighters and did an ice bath for 5 minutes outside of the fire hall, and then was promoting this on the radio show and was gaining donations towards our fundraiser.
So you mentioned that that's one of your fundraising activities, the polar bear dip. Do you have any other fundraising activities you do?
Yeah, we usually have a couple events each year. So we do one usually at the beginning of summer that's called the Boucherie Grind. And Mount Boucherie is a mountain here in Kelowna. And similar to the Grouse Grind, we do sort of a fun race up there. Again, we are looking at maybe doing like a virtual race this year where people submit their times. Yeah, we have small fundraising events here and there throughout the year, lots of different things, and just trying to get community awareness and involvement, not just like monetary donations, but that also is a big part of what we need to help support our organization as a nonprofit.
Next question is kind of reflexive. And so it's like, what were some of the most insurmountable challenges that Chris faced to make things accessible for people with diverse abilities, but they found a way to address and support those individuals within their mission? And to paraphrase this, something you didn't think you would be able to accommodate, but you still found a way to do it?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm fairly new to Chris, but Troy, who is the founder, he's a search and rescue guy. He's a firefighter. He has like every wilderness credential there could ever be, and like loves the outdoors. And so he started also, there's sort of three branches of Chris. We have our adaptive adventures, which are our regular ongoing sort of day and more urban programs. And then we've got our rentals, and then there's a travel component. And now Troy is most heavily involved in adaptive travel. And like they do wild adventures out in the backcountry multiple nights, taking people up like on glaciers and things like all sorts of things like that, that even it's hard to imagine as like doing on your own, let alone someone who maybe is in a chair or is visually impaired. Like, and basically his motto and the motto that has become for Chris is that nothing is like inaccessible. You just need like the right team and the right equipment and the right preparation. And really it's about preparation and knowledge. And so like we find a way to make that happen. I guess, I don't know. I'm still learning about things that they've done, and I'm constantly impressed. I'm like, that's a trip that like, I think I'm a fairly outdoorsy person. And I'm like, man, I don't know if I'd be like able or brave enough to go do that. Like, it's cool.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The audio you were listening to was of Christy and Anna's interview with Danielle Henning, who is the manager of partnerships of Okanagan's Community Recreational Initiative Society. We'll play more of that interview for you shortly. But first, let's go to our first song break. Katie, what song are we listening to?
Thanks, Richard. Here's a song, Too Young, Too Old, by Sylvie McCormack, and off the album Coastal Chants.
I go down to the city, look up to the sky, see you light.
Welcome back to All S's Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was Too Young, Too Old by Sylvie McCormack and off the album Coastal Chants. She was born and lives in the Coast Salish Territory, British Columbia, Canada, and is a musician that was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at the age of 21. Her soundscapes combine sounds of nature, voices, and of course, music. Common themes include First Nations rights, environmental damage, and the able and disability.
Thanks, Katie. Before the song break, we were playing an interview with Danielle Henning, who is the manager of partnerships of Okanagan's Community Recreational Initiative Society. She was very kind enough to chat with my Accessibility Collective teammates, Christy and Anna. Now we'll play the remainder of that interview for you.
And our next question is actually like very much up that alley too. Would you be able to describe your most memorable moment at CRIS, like out of all those incredible things you already told us?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, like I've said a few times, I'm fairly new with the organization. And honestly, it's just like some of the small day-to-day things. Like a couple weeks ago, we went just snowshoeing with a small group because everything's really within like bubbles right now because of COVID. And we were taking an individual on a snowshoe, and it was just like, as we were going in the sled, they were in the sled, and I was on the back of the sled, and we were going down a hill, and as we started going down the hill, like, he just started this joyful laugh and was like having so much fun. And so then we like started running with the sled and we're just playing around and having fun. And I was like, I don't know, that's a really cool part about my job, is that in different ways, like, you get to have an impact on people's, like, the whole impact of Chris is big, but like having and being able to see like an impact on an individual's life, like bringing someone a bit of joy in their day. For me, it's actually some of those little things that end up being the really cool parts about it. All these big, amazing trips are awesome, but the like small day-to-day impacts are what, I don't know, sometimes like get me the most, I guess.
So it was really nice to hear that those like moments that you had kind of answered a few of our questions about like, what's your most rewarding part of your role? Mm-hmm. I guess that answers the question, but would you like to add anything else about the role?
Yeah, I think just working with this organization, like, we're really, in the last year or two, like, we're really trying to grow to better be able to serve like the whole Okanagan community and more people within it and help more people become aware. So it's like, some of the stuff on the trips is obviously the most impactful, but then even the more mundane things that I'm doing in the office, knowing that that's part of a bigger picture of being able to like have more moments like that, is really also like makes it feel good and worthwhile. When you're accomplishing something, you're like, yeah, I'm working towards making things better for a lot of people.
So another question somebody asked from our collective is about backpacking, hiking trips. And you already mentioned it a little bit, mm-hmm. about your grand trips that you're doing.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about those?
Yeah. So adaptive travel is, yeah, that one branch of Chris. And this last year, because of COVID again, we did less trips than usual, but there was one trip that went to Cathedral Lakes, which is in, yeah, the South Okanagan. And so they did a multi-day backpack trip, and that was in partnership with the West Kelowna Paid On Call firefighters. And it was really cool. The guy who went on the trip ended up, he actually used to be a volunteer firefighter in a different community. And then he suffered a spinal cord injury. And so he is in a chair right now and working to hopefully eventually be back on his own feet. But so he had this really cool camaraderie with the people who were joining him on the trip and taking him out. And yeah, they hiked up to Cathedral Lakes and spent a couple days up there and took some, I think they took kayaks as well. Kayaks or just the paddle boards. And so they went up to Cathedral Lakes and did a number of big hikes in the mountains, and then also spent time just fishing on the lakes. And yeah, and I think this year, right now, we have like 12 adaptive travel trips in the works for this coming year. I think one of them might be paddling through the Broken Island group. There's a few sturgeon fishing trips, I think, planned, another Cathedral Lakes trip. Yeah, all sorts of crazy things. A few hunting trips. There's a few avid hunters. Yeah, so it's like all these crazy like backcountry things that I'm like trying to put my hand up to go on all these trips, because I'm like, I want to do that. Yeah, like, I will be there as a volunteer. Please pick me.
I guess in order to volunteer for Chris, do you need to be experienced with working with people that have disabilities? And like, what's that process for volunteering?
Yeah, so there isn't like any specific requirements. Obviously, if you have worked with people with disabilities, that's great to have those skills already. But we have a very robust training program. And there are a few requirements, like everyone has to get a police criminal record check, and that's with anyone working with vulnerable populations. And then, yeah, we sort of make that sure that people are a right fit for the organization, but we rely on a ton of volunteers to help us run our programs. And so if people are interested in volunteering, we encourage them to reach out, and then we take them through sort of a intro to Chris. And some of our volunteer training is about just how to interact and work with people with various abilities. And then there's a lot more specific training for our different activities like cycling and hiking and paddling and all the different equipment that we use, so that they understand how to use it safely and all the adaptations that it can have, so that we can help our clients be comfortable and empower them to be able to use the abilities that they have as best as they can.
So I'm more of an indoor cat, but like,
yeah,
I'm getting inspired to go hiking right now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And why do you think Chris, and I guess going to the great outdoors, is so important to people facing access barriers?
Yeah, I think, especially this year with COVID, I think there's been a big emphasis sort of on getting outdoors, and a lot of people have sort of either gotten back into that if they fell away, or even if they hadn't been involved in like the outdoor recreation community, people have been a lot more, I guess, recognizing its value in terms of just not only your physical well-being, but your like social and mental well-being. For me, like, I've always loved going outdoors, and that's like my place where I really get refreshed, and like when I need a break, it's so, I don't know, relaxing. And it doesn't necessarily have to be relaxing. Like, it can be hard. I can be doing a hard workout, but like, there's something that's so rejuvenating about it, I guess, not necessarily relaxing. And that is something that like I love and know I'm very privileged in that I've grown up doing it. So I have that knowledge base and I have a lot of people around me, and I've had access to equipment because it's more readily available and all these things. And so I know I'm in a very privileged position to do that. So to work with an organization who then, yeah, is working towards creating that accessibility for everyone, I think that's really awesome, because I want everyone else to be able to experience and like reap those benefits that I get from it, if they want to. Like, it's not, obviously we're never going to force someone to go outside. If you as an indoor cat want to stay there, great. But like, to make it a possibility for anyone, if they so choose, then they can come to us and we're like, yes, let's make it happen. We're yes people.
Yeah, so I think it's so important to create those spaces where people can feel included. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so how was working for Chris changed how you approached people with diverse abilities in your everyday life?
I think it's opened my eyes more to how you can better focus on ability, in that like, and that's what we try and do at Chris. It's like, whatever your abilities are, we're going to empower that. So like, if the most you can do is like buckling up your waist strap on the trail rider, that's great. Like, we'll do that, and then we'll take you out and get you to where you need to go. But like, if we can help you actually go hiking and just be there for like that comfort and support of just knowing that you have someone who knows what they're doing and knows where we're going, then we'll be that support. And I think, yeah, for me, it's just being able to recognize or really refocus on the ability and better understand like hidden disabilities too, where you often like don't know people's abilities or limitations, and it's not always obvious the barriers that they may face, but those barriers are still there a lot of the time. And so to be able to break them down without having to like explicitly show it off is something that I'm learning.
What are some ways listeners can help support Chris?
I mean, if you're an avid outdoors person, we're always looking for volunteers. And even if you're not an outdoors person, we have volunteer roles that are within the office or helping us transport equipment. That's one way. Another way is just through partnerships or donations. Like, we're always looking for community partners who want to, like, even just spread the word about us or join in on different events, stuff like that. Just because I think a big thing about accessibility and inclusion is just like having it, like, that awareness piece. And so for us, like, right now it's really cool with our rentals program. We're partnered with another organization who isn't focused on adaptive, but we're just going to have this bike rentals program that's like any bike rental store in Stanley Park, but we're just going to have both like standard and adaptive equipment. It's all together. Anybody can rent anything. Like, you don't have to have a special qualification to rent the adaptive equipment. You don't have to, but it's just like making it so that like inclusion is just, and even adaptive and accessible equipment is just like normalized and seen a lot more. And yeah, that in itself raises awareness, because it could be, you know, just someone's grandpa who's getting old and just struggles to step over a normal bike. Like, he can go in a recumbent cycle with someone else, and there you go. Like, that's accessibility. And that's, yeah, it's like that awareness piece. So anyone who wants to speak about us, like you guys are, it helps. And because like that, maybe then someone else who maybe has other resources to give will then support there. So yeah, talk about us, look us up, see if you want to volunteer.
I'm sure our listeners are really interested in this organization. For those people who have used CREST, what was their feedback on their experience with navigating outdoor activities?
I think that's some of the best part also about working for this organization is like hearing the impact we can have, because some of the stuff that I think of as just in that privileged position of just like every day, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go for a hike. Like, I want to get outside. For some people, it's not that simple. And so to be able to somewhat provide them that, like to break down that barrier and make it at least a little bit more accessible, the impact that like one small thing like that can have in their daily life is really cool. So there's a ton of impact stories that always like move me to tears just about. Yeah, so it's really, I don't know, it's always very heartwarming.
Well, I'm sure you have made many, many lives much more enriched. So what are the most popular activities, outdoor activities, that people with diverse abilities like request or participate in? What's your most popular bit?
Well, so we mostly, in the summer, we focus on hiking, cycling, and paddling. And so our paddling, we've got kayaks, and then also a couple specialized paddle boards in this last year that are like super stable, and they actually have like some of them have chair attachments, so they don't have to be fully stand up. So those are sort of summer activities. And then in the winter we do snowshoeing and cross-country skiing. That being said, like in the past we've done like one-off like special activities where we go do zip lining, or like we go take people rock climbing. And then our adaptive travel is like definitely if you have like this dream trip or activity you want to do, it's like bring it to them and like we figure out a way to make it happen. I think one of my first weeks at work, Troy, the founder, called in to the work phone, and I didn't really know him well yet and didn't know his number. And he's like, hey, I want to set up a trip and go mud hogging. And I'm like, okay, can you explain what mud hogging is? And I guess that actually is a thing where you drive around in like 4x4 trucks in the mud and whatever. And like, and basically my response is like, yeah, like we'll look into it and we can definitely like work with you to make something happen. And he's like, and then he finally like revealed himself to me and was like, oh, good answer. Like, that's what I want you to be saying. So basically that's our whole thing, is like we sort of have these regular activities that we focus on and that are our bread and butter, because there are other organizations that provide adaptive options. Like there's a great downhill ski adaptive organization, Powder Hounds, here in Kelowna, and they already provide that. So we don't need to double up. Like, we want to spread the resources and make sure that we can provide all these different options. But if there's something that you can't find anywhere else, we're going to do everything possible to make it happen.
I know you talked a lot about, or bits about, how the pandemic affected Chris. So did you want to talk more about how it has affected, like maybe with the participants or also mm-hmm. with the organization?
Yeah, it's definitely, I think with a lot of clients of ours and participants, often people with disabilities are in that group that are often more affected by COVID, or like immunocompromised, or have other comorbidities that then make it more difficult for them to be involved in regular activities because it's more dangerous. And so we've definitely seen a lot fewer numbers this year, but we've tried to stay connected with everyone and create options for them, whether it's providing them with rentals so they can just go out with their care bubble, or I mean, all of our programs, we've reduced our numbers so that it's very small and limited and adds volunteers and staff. We're always wearing masks. Yeah, so it's definitely pulled back our face-to-face programming and what we can do there, but it's also given us a bit of time to refresh and put a lot of work in on the back end and sort of really redevelop or further develop our programs so that hopefully as things open up, we can provide even better services to everyone. So that's been a big focus, is like taking advantage of the time that we've had there. And this year, again, is our 20th anniversary. So it's sort of like that relaunch, we're going into new big things. And so we've been trying to get like all of our processes and systems like really locked in so that we can just in all ways like better serve our clients.
So you just mentioned that it's your 20th anniversary this year. Congratulations. That is amazing. That's just like quite an impressive number, I would say. So are there any events happening that our listeners, especially in the Okanagan Valley, would be interested in?
We hope so. We have it's hard to plan right now. We're definitely looking at doing some things in the summer to celebrate. What that will actually look like is definitely up in the air. We're obviously going to continue running our programs as much as we can and hopefully expanding them. So just being involved with us, like reach out if you want to get involved and come out on something. And then as we figure out what we can do, we'll definitely be sharing it on our social media and on our website. So keep posted to that, and then we will you'll be able to see what we actually end up planning.
Yeah, last but not least, is there anything you would like to say to our CITR listeners?
No, I think just thank you for having me, and yeah, we're yes people. And so if there's anything that you ever like want to do or have an idea of how we can better serve our community or want to do something with us, like reach out. We love hearing from our community and collaborating with one another and learning from one another. And so yeah, it's always great to connect with more people. So we'd love to hear from anyone here who is interested in learning more about us or has any feedback for us.
So how can our listeners reach you guys?
Our website is adaptiveadventures.ca. And then on Facebook, we're at Chris Adaptive. And then Instagram, I think it's Chris Adaptive Adventures as well. So we're on all the social media, and yeah, you can find us there and find out more about us.
Thank you for coming to our show. And thank you for sharing your wonderful organization and your wonderful personality with us today. we hope that many of our listeners will be interested in Chris, and have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. Thank you so much for that interview with Danielle, Christy, and Anna. It's really great to see how Okanagan's Community Recreational Initiative Society is trying to remove barriers to participation in outdoor activities.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it's really great that they're really open to any ideas that the community has. So if any of our listeners are in like the Kelowna area, they should definitely check them out.
They truly are an inclusive organization, and the trips and activities they organize are just amazing. I especially appreciated their commitment to making it happen. They believe that with the right equipment, team, and a good plan, anything is possible, and everyone can enjoy the great outdoors. Honestly, Danielle inspired me to go hiking again.
That's awesome. Well, thanks, Christy and Anna, for the interview. Now let's move on to our next show topic, where Accessibility Collective members bring you inspiring and uplifting sports stories featuring people with disabilities. Christy, let's go with you first.
The athlete that I wanted to highlight today is Tegan Vincent Cook. Tegan is only 19 years old and is aiming to become Great Britain's first Black para dressage rider, also known as horse riding or equestrianism. Yeah, I had to look that up because I wasn't sure what para dressage was. And yeah, complications during her birth had resulted in her developing cerebral palsy and serious muscle tightness throughout her body. This has led to difficulties when walking, talking, and also carrying out other day-to-day tasks. However, Tegan feels that one of her biggest challenges is dealing with the ignorant assumptions that people put on her. And she tells BBC Sports that when people see me, they assume that I am mentally challenged, which can be really upsetting and frustrating. She's also very passionate about inclusivity in Paralympic sports. There has never been a Black woman in the Great Britain equestrian team at the Paralympic Games, and Vincent Cook aims to change that at Paris 2024. So let's cross our fingers that it works out. She also tells BBC Sport that her ambition is to make her sport more accepting of people of color, people with disabilities, and make it less of a middle-class white elitist sport. And I think that which I think is so great to hear, because a representation is very important, and hopefully Tegan can be a reference to young equestrian riders, not only those who have diverse abilities, but also to young equestrian riders of color. Tegan has been riding for 14 years, and some of her proudest accomplishments include winning the National RDA Dressage Championship 4 times and being selected to be on the British dressage team. In 2016, she also started a YouTube channel, creating inspiring motivational videos and animations about her experiences of living with a disability, which went viral. And she also posts really fun, quirky videos that highlight her bubbly personality, such as outfit videos, DIYs, and more question and answers about herself. So definitely check out her YouTube. And in 2020, she was only 18 years old and even gave a TED Talk, which can be found on YouTube. And in this TED Talk, she challenges the negative perceptions around being a person with a disability, encouraging us to have better discussions and connections with disabled people. Her ambition, honest expression, and fun personality is very refreshing to see. And I definitely plan on keeping up with Tegan. Lydia will introduce her story.
Good afternoon, everybody. Today we're going to delve into a star of wheelchair basketball. So let's get rolling with some verbatim quotations from David Eng's website. So David Eng discovered wheelchair basketball as a child thanks to his uncle Gerald Brulé, a former member of the men's national team. In 1989, David Eng started playing wheelchair basketball recreationally with the Gladiateurs de Laval, a local team near his hometown of Montreal. In 2004, Eng earned a full-time roster spot with Team Canada, and he enjoyed a successful rookie season with the national team en route to a gold medal at the Paralympic Games in Athens. Since then, he has gone on to capture numerous medals and individual accolades while representing Canada, including a 2006 World Championship title, a Paralympic silver medal in 2008, and yet another Paralympic gold medal in 2012. David Eng counts as his number one fan his father, who is also named David and who is a fifth degree black belt. In addition to his career as a professional athlete, David Eng has a BA in kinesiology from the University of Texas at Arlington and currently works as a kinesiologist. In conclusion, we must acknowledge that David is a truly impressive athlete. And now we are going to pass the buck back to Richard. Hi, Richard. What's up next?
Thanks, Lydia, for the story. Now let's go to our second song break. Katie, what song are we listening to next?
Thanks, Richard. Here's a song, Falling, by Christina Sheldon.
Feels like nothing can fill my heart. For what it's worth, the tears are doing their part. It's shocking how together.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was Falling by Christina Sheldon. She was in the midst of pursuing a degree in university when she was met with a spinal cord injury that made it almost impossible to play music. She is a member of the Dean First Nations and is based out of Vancouver. Christina's music reflects her struggles and celebrates her. Her upcoming album explores the emotional journey through love and loss.
Thanks, Katie. Now let's get back to our show topic, where Accessibility Collective members bring you inspiring and uplifting sports stories featuring people with disabilities. Anna, let's go with you next.
Today I want to talk about Carla Dawn Qualtrough. She's currently the Minister of Employment, Workforce Development and Disability Inclusion in Canada. Also, she's a former Paralympic swimmer. Let's look at what Wiki and the Canadian Encyclopedia have to say about her. Carla is visually impaired since birth and has 10% of vision with her glasses on. Her parents refused to enroll her in a school for the blind, as counselors have suggested, preferring that she learn to navigate the sighted world. Classmates teased her for needing to put her face so close to the textbooks to read. Ridiculed and bullied at school, where her poor sight also made her the target for practical jokes. She became a determined athlete who trained in swimming pool before and after class. She began swimming competitively at age 12. Her Paralympic career is quite impressive. She won 3 bronze medals at the 1988 and 1992 Paralympic Games. And also she won 4 world championship medals for Canada. She was a 100 meter medley and freestyle relay swimmer, for those interested in the specifics. Before becoming a competitive swimmer, Carla played soccer and skied downhill, also sometimes competitively. Apart from earning a lot of medals, Carla went on to earn a law degree, and with that continued working with Paralympic sports. She served on the governing board of the America's Paralympic Committee and also served as president of the Canadian Paralympic Committee from 2006 to 2011. In 2009, she was elected as one of Canada's most influential women in sports. In 2015, Carla became the first Paralympic athlete to be selected to Canadian Parliament, where she initially served as a Minister of Sport and Persons with Disabilities. After serving in several other positions, in 2019, she became the Minister of Employment, Workforce Development, and Disability Inclusion. Carla is also a BC local. Although she was born in Calgary, she has lived mostly in BC and is a member of parliament for Delta. And on to Avery with her story.
Hi, everyone. Today, my story about sports featuring people with disabilities hits close to home, as the person that I will be talking about is actually my brother, Wyatt Granger. My brother and I are both avid athletes. I've been a competitive dancer since I was 3, and a competitive cross-country runner and track and field athlete since I was 11. Both my brother and I have played many sports growing up, from badminton, basketball, hockey, lacrosse, and soccer. We both also love to ski, hike, and swim with the rest of our family. My brother's road to sports success looks a little different, though. He started getting into professional bike racing when he was 13, only for a year later to be diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. While this is a completely manageable condition, it undoubtedly affects an athlete's performance as your blood glucose levels are constantly fluctuating, making it hard to feel your best while competing with athletes who do not have to deal with insulin and pumps. My brother knew that he did not want this disability to prevent him from doing great things in the world of sports. So immediately after his diagnosis, he began searching for diabetic race teams. To his surprise, there is an all-diabetic professional cycling team based in Athens, Georgia, USA, that has had many high-caliber athletes emerge from the team, including Tour de France, Giro d'Italia, Tour du Maroc, and Tour of California competitors, to name a few. It is the world's first all-diabetic cycling team with a huge international reach, hosting camps each summer with athletes from around the world, which my brother was admitted to attend a year younger than normally accepted when he was 14. The team is called Team Novo Nordisk, named after the Danish global healthcare company Novo Nordisk, which sponsors the team. My brother had attended the camp 4 summers in a row now, this past summer it being a virtual camp due to coronavirus. He flies to Georgia every year to participate, and he even went to San Diego, California last February to train with teammates from around the world. He hopes one day to make it into the professional division and continue training with Team Novo Nordisk while going to university in the state of Georgia. I hope this personal story has inspired you to make the most out of your current reality and, above all, get active. Thanks.
Thanks for that great story, Avery. Now, next up is Randy with his story.
Thanks, Richard. I had the opportunity to read about Bruce Cook, a paraplegic freestyle motocross rider and nitro circus performer here from Kelowna, British Columbia. From Cook's bio on the Nitro Circus webpage, in 2014, Bruce Cook lost the use of his legs while attempting the world's first double front flip on a motorcycle. During the attempt, Bruce over-rotated, crashed, and tragically broke his back in the fall. More determined than ever to get back on his bike, he trained day in and day out to climb back into the saddle and do the unthinkable, backflip his motorcycle without the use of his legs. On October 14th, 2015, Bruce completed that goal and became the first paraplegic to backflip a motorcycle. Overcoming obstacles is why Bruce was hooked on freestyle motocross from the beginning, and his views of his accident resulted in the same sort of thing, determination. Overcoming obstacles. There's always a way to succeed. You just have to work hard enough, says Bruce. Since his accident, Bruce has ridden countless shows in front of sold-out crowds, and his story has inspired millions of people all across the globe. To learn more and to watch amazing videos, including a documentary trailer about Bruce, check out the Nitro Circus bio page at www.nitrocircus.com/rider/Bruce-Cook.
That wraps up our show for today. Hope you all enjoyed it.
If you are interested in joining our team or think there is an issue we should bring up on our show, please send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning into today's All Access Pass. We hope you enjoyed it. A special thanks goes to Danielle Henning from the Okanagan's Community Recreational Initiatives Society for the interview with Christy and Anna.
Please like our All Access Pass Facebook page.
If you're on Twitter, on Instagram, or both, please follow us at @access_CITR.
If you missed part of our live show today and want to listen again, or maybe you want to listen to our past shows, you can do so on citr.ca by going on the search box and typing in All Access Pass.
Take care and stay safe. Stick around for more CITR programming coming up next. Bye, everyone.
Hey, I'm Sarah from Alien Boys, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.